dark days ahead of us, but if you look far enough ahead, just beyond the shadows, there's a wonderful day ahead for every child of God. Up ahead, there's joy and gladness and rest for the weary soul. Thank the good Lord. Luke chapter 5. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now look in verse 5 for my text tonight. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. My text is those five words. Want the blessing of God on you? Here's the secret. At thy word I will. You want to live the victorious Christian life? You want to be useful in service for God? You want the good hand of God on you? Listen to my text. At thy word I will. Notice with me, first of all, in verse 4, commission. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Here is commission. When the Lord Jesus takes possession, he always gives commission. He's standing on the bank of the Lake Gennesaret. The crowds are pressing on him to hear the word of God. The greatest preacher that ever walked on the face of the earth. God come in flesh. He saw two ships standing there and he got in one of them. He told Simon to thrust out a little from the land and he began to speak from that ship, that fishing boat, to all those multitudes who had thronged him to hear the word of God. He took possession of that ship and then he gave commission. When the Lord Jesus takes possession, he always gives commission. He takes over, whether he comes into a ship or whether he comes into a life. He comes in to be the captain to take over. When he takes possession, he always gives commission. Did you notice the progression in the verse? Look at it again. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. In verse 3 he had said, put out a little. Thrust out a little. You know, when the Lord takes over in your life, he always gets you to move out.
At first it's a little, and then verse 4, it's launch out into the deep. The path that the Lord leads us in is ever outward. Some of the men around here joke with me and kid me about that song, Hold the Fort. There are a number of songs in the songbook that I don't care to sing. And number one on my list is Hold the Fort. God never left us here to build forts and hold them. He left us here with the gospel and the power of God Almighty to do one thing, and that's to go. The first two letters in God's name is G-O. Go. The first two letters in gospel is G-O. Go. God expects us to do what? When He takes possession of our lives, at first He gets us to thrust out a little. And then at some later time, He says to us, launch out. Launch out into the deep. Get out over your head. You know, most of us, my wife likes to fish, and she likes to fish from the bank. And you know, most Christians, they like to fish from the bank, as it were. But God, when He comes in, to your heart and life, are you listening to me? If you're a child of God, when He takes possession, He gives commission. And in that commission, at first, He just wants you to thrust out a little. But as long as He's with you, He'll have you later on thrusting out into the deep. And most of us are wondering how deep. Well, He says, launch out. But that's not all He said in verse 4. He said, let down your nets for a draft. Launch out and let down. Not launch out to go on a scenic cruise. People that know anything about Australia, they always ask me if I've seen this and that and the other in Australia. And I say no. About 99% of the time, I didn't go to Australia as a tourist for all those years. I went with one purpose in mind, and that was others who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let down your nets for what reason? I got something I want you to catch. And God Almighty expects us, when He takes possession of us, to hear that commission to thrust out a little and then launch out into the deep and let down our nets for a draft. You know, two of the greatest Christians I've ever met in my life, one of them lived here and the other lived in Australia. And they were both elderly men when I first came to know them in an intimate way. The man that lived here was Harley Ramey. Harley Ramey lived for others. He got so old he couldn't do much, but he could still get around to the hospitals and he could still get around to the nursing home. Harley Ramey lived for others. He launched out. And he got out there to get after other folks and to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I never will forget being in service with him one time, and he was talking about a lady that he had talked to in the hospital who was an agnostic. Brother Harley didn't know what an agnostic was. He said, I told that woman I never heard of that denomination. He said, but I told her she needed to be washed in the blood. Amen. He said, she said, you don't understand, I'm an agnostic. He said, lady, I told you, I never heard of that denomination. You need to get saved. You need to get born again. He had one thing on his mind. That was to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus out. I met another man in Australia, a man by the name of Ted Haddock. He was a naval architect by profession. That was his occupation. A naval architect. God had so led in his life that he sold his shipbuilding business and moved up into the state of Queensland and bought a ranch up there. When I met him, he had given his ranch to the church and everything on it, horses, saddles, and everything. Gave everything he had to the work of God. Some of you old folks need to get a hold of that. He didn't wait until he died off and leave it in his will. He gave everything that he had to God. and to the good of souls. And I mean, he had some money. He gave it all to God. One day he came to me. I had a transmission in my car slipping, and somebody wrote him a check for $500 and sent it to him. He came to me and he said, "Look, I got $500 recently in the mail, and I want to give it to you." I said, "Why do you want to give it to me?" He said, "Well, you got a problem with your car. Your transmission's no good. I just feel the Lord have me give it to you, and you get that transmission fixed." I said, "Well, you take it and do something with it." He said, "I ain't got a bit of use for it." Man lived in a shack on top of a hill, lived by himself with an old dog, drove an old Toyota car beat up. God sent him $500, and he said, "I ain't got a bit of use for it." And he wanted to give it to the preacher. I'm telling you that when God takes possession of you, he always gives commission. He wants you to launch out into the deep and reach others. That's the will of God. So there's the commission in verse 4. Look at the compliance in verse number 5. "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." Now here are the facts. All night, nothing. Now I'm not much of a fisherman, but I have been fishing a few times. And the best time to fish is at night. And Simon said, "Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing." There are the facts. I'm a fisherman. You're a teacher. I know about fishing. And I've already fished these waters and toiled all night. And I don't have one fish to show for all my labor. Those are the bare facts. And you can imagine his feeling now. It won't do any good. But just to humor you, and because I enjoyed that message you just gave, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." It won't do any good, but I will do what you tell me to do. Now in these 24 plus years of preaching, I've met a number of people and tried to preach to them. And those people not only knew more than I know, but they know more than God knows. A man told me one time, "I know what the Bible says, but what? This book was written by God Almighty. In Simon's boat that day sat God in flesh. And God Almighty come in flesh," said Simon. "I want you to thrust out in the deep now and let down your nets for a draft. I've used your boat. I'm going to pay you for what time I've spent in this boat. Now you launch out there and you can get some fish." And Simon said, "Oh my, I know about fishing." Oh, I dare say tonight that there are some of you, oh, you wouldn't say you know more than God knows overall, but in some areas, oh, you wouldn't say it now out loud, but you really believe you know more than God knows about certain things. Oh, it's wicked. It's wicked. The compliance in verse 5. Look at the catch in verse 6. When Peter bows and bends himself to the Word of God, the Bible said in verse 6, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. He that controls the waves of the sea also controls the wealth of the sea."
And those fishes couldn't wait to get in that net. A great multitude of fishes. And their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Peter rejected his method, do you see it? He said, I've got a method of fishing and my way is the best way. I know what I'm doing. And here the Lord Jesus has them out fishing in the heat of the day. But when he rejected his method, then he realized the manifestation. The manifestation of what? Of God's omniscience. That's just a big word that means God knows everything. He knows where the fish are, when they're there. God's omnipotence. That's just a big word that means that God has all power. He's Lord of heaven and earth. He's in control. Simon, I know everything. I control everything. And when he rejected his method, he realized the manifestation of God's mighty power. I tell you, I believe we know how to live our lives, and a lot of times we think we know how to do the work of God, and until we come to the place where we're willing to reject our method, you know, I did go to school for a little while, and they tried to teach me how to preach, and I tried it. But I found out it didn't work. I found out you can't preach unless God comes. You can give out a message. You can polish it and perfect it with all your human ingenuity. But only God Almighty can cast the net. Oh, great God. How we need to reject our method in these days. Us Baptists that know how to do it. And then by the grace of God we'll realize the manifestation of God's mighty power. The bearing of His arm. There's the catch in verse 6 and 7. That's what he should have expected. Now, you think the Lord had him out there just practicing his net casting? Oh, no. Oh, no. Look at the confession in verse 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. See here in this confession a different attitude. Lord, Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. It won't do any good but to humor you, we'll go out there and cast our net out. But oh, look at verse 8. What a different attitude we find now. We find Simon Peter at Jesus' knees. He's fallen on his face. No sense of superiority and self-sufficiency now. God had Jeremiah say in his day, in Jeremiah chapter 9, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am God. 1 Corinthians 1:29. God has called us, and everything we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You see, Peter, like a proud peacock strutting around on the deck of that ship saying it won't do any good to obey the Word of God. But when the Lord Jesus manifests His arm, His mighty arm, he's on his face with a different attitude. A different attitude. And the Lord Jesus has divinely accomplished what He wanted to. What's that? He wanted Simon to get a good look at himself. You see, the Lord had already met Simon Peter at John's baptism. You can read about that in John's Gospel, chapter 1. He knew about him. He'd met him. Simon believed, along with his brother Andrew, that Jesus was the Messiah. But now the Lord is dealing with him further. And he realizes that Simon needs what we all need. A better view of the Lord and who He is, so that we also can see ourselves as we ought to see ourselves. Psalm 36:9, in Thy light shall we see light. If I see the Lord like I ought to see Him, I see myself like I ought to see myself. When Isaiah saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, he thought a whole lot of the Lord and very little of himself. When you see these Baptist folks strutting around, eyelids lifted up, proud and haughty, you know they haven't spent time with the Lord and got a good look at Him. You see, the Lord Jesus is interested in Simon. But before He can do good to him, He's got to give him a good look at himself. And Simon Peter said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Well, what's he done? He just doubted the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all he had done. He had just felt like that he knew more than the Lord Jesus. And he had hesitated in obeying the word of God. And when he saw what God come in flesh did, immediately he was smitten in his heart. I tell you, I've tried to preach it straight and hard and loud and long. And it's been like water off a duck's back. Time and time again. But when the Word of God comes in power and the Holy Ghost of God brings it home to that heart, you see, men and women, boys and girls acting just like Simon, confessing that they are sinners and rightly alienated from God because of that wicked sin. There's the confession in verse 8 and 9. Look at the consolation in verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Now notice, And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Simon said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And as soon as that confession was made, here comes the consolation of God to his heart. When Isaiah said, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, here come a seraphim with a coal live from the altar and touched his lips, cleansed him. And when Simon made confession, here comes the cleansing and consolation from God's word. Fear not. Well, there's only one thing to fear, and that's sin. Most folks fear everything but sin. But the only thing to fear is sin. And the Lord Jesus said, fear not, I can take care of your sinfulness. And if he can take care of my sinfulness, he can take care of everything else. If he can take care of your sinfulness, friend, he can take care of every other problem you may have. Because that's the greatest problem you have. And here comes the word of God to him. You know, I've never counted them, but I read in the book that 366 times those two words are together in the Bible. Fear not. I don't know if that's so or not, but I like it. If it is in there 366 times, that's one for every day of the year and one for leap year when it rolls around. Amen. Fear not. You are a wicked sinner, Simon, but fear not. I've come to take care of your sin. And from henceforth. You see it? Fear not from henceforth. Simon, you're a fisherman. And you're a pretty good fisherman. But listen, I got better plans and bigger plans for you than catching fish. Now listen to me. Most of us live selfish little lives. We're shrunken souls with a perverted perspective. And we need some elevation. And if it takes it, we need to act like Zacchaeus and climb a sycamore tree to get a better look at the Lord. No matter how dignified we are, you're no more dignified than that publican was named Zacchaeus. But he acted like a kid to get a look at the Lord Jesus. Listen, you and I need to get a hold of this truth. We got plans for our lives, and they're puny little plans. Listen to me. Puny little plans. Our God has great plans for every last one of us. I don't know about you, but I'm dreading that judgment seat. I feel in my soul that I'm going to get there and find out that I didn't live out the life that God meant for me to live. I've got bigger and better things in store for you, Simon, than catching fish here on the Lake of Galilee. Oh, God, help us. Do you realize God has more for you than what you're living? Does God mean for you just to work some little job? Live a comfortable lifestyle? Lay up a little nest egg for your old age? Is that all God has for you? No! No! 1,000 times no! God don't want every one of us to be a missionary or a preacher. But God has great plans for every one of us. And those plans are to touch lives. Are you listening to me, friend? God wants you to touch lives. There's a glorious day coming when a king shall reign in righteousness on this earth. And what you and I are to be doing now is, by the help and the grace of God, turn as many to righteousness in our day as we can. I'm saying God's got greater plans for you than you have for your own life. What's it going to take for those plans to be realized? Well, it's there in verse 11. It's going to take consecration. Notice, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. All of what? Well, all of the ships, all of the fishing equipment, and all of the fish they had just caught. They left it all. Now, I believe this, that God expects every one of us. He brings us to that place in our lives where from our heart we forsake all. And then if it's the will of God for us to continue on in that line of work that we're involved in, then we continue on in it, or we leave it to go into some other line of work. But in our heart, we forsake all. And then we look to Him, and we only retain that which He would have us to retain, whether it be material possessions, or an occupation, or where we live. We forsake all. That's the price. And it won't come down. The first time the Lord Jesus met Simon, He said to him in John 1:42, He said, "Thou art Simon. But you're going to be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. He looked at Simon, and all he saw was shifting sand. But he said, "When I get finished with you, you're going to be a stone. You're going to be a rock." And oh, when the Lord looks at us, He don't see much. But He said, "If you'll consecrate yourself to Me, if you'll take your hands off of your life and everything that I've let you have up to this point, if you'll forsake it all and then look to Me and do as I say, if you'll follow Me," they forsook all and followed Him, "then you can enjoy My presence. Then you can experience My power." You know, there's some folks you like to be around.
Some folks you don't care much to be around, I guess. But oh, to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus. And then as you walk with Him, to experience His power. And didn't Simon do that? This is the first miracle. But how many more did he see? As he followed the Lord Jesus in the way. I'm saying to you tonight that God wants to use us. And He will use us. If you'll take hold of my text and say to the Lord, at thy word, I will. When God speaks to you from this word, you say, yes, Lord. I'm saved by the grace of God tonight. Because I said, yes, Lord, when He spoke to me about repentance and faith, trusting the Lord Jesus and the blood that was shed at Calvary for my sins. You don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when God is calling. And at His word, you will. You yield. Has God spoken to you, friend, about your need of salvation? Has God spoken to you about sanctification? I didn't get saved till I was almost 25. I had a lot of fleshly lusts and habits. And God began to deal with me. He's holy. And He expects every one of His children to be holy. He said He'd be our Father and we'd be His sons and daughters. And then He said in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God expects you and me to be holy. You know, I noticed a few people kind of looked, you know, smiled a little bit when I said something the other night about being in a church where a fellow come took the offering up, you know, he looked like he had been out cutting logs or something. And I said, you ought to dress up when you come to the house of God. You're coming to worship God. Do you know God in the Old Testament told them how to dress before they came into that temple, that tabernacle? Does God ever speak to you and tell you, especially in the summertime, you men and women, you ought to put some clothes on and cover up your nakedness? He sure spoke to me about it. When God saved me, I ran around with a chew tobacco in my mouth and a cigarette hanging out of the other side and a pair of shorts on. That's all I had on. But He didn't leave me like that. At thy word I will perfect holiness in the fear of God. This may be the last time I ever preach. One of these days it'll be the last one. Life's short day will soon be over. I'm preaching to you about fulfilling all the will of God for your life. Judgment day's coming. God wants you and me to be holy. Well, we live in a day when holiness is laughed at. Practical holiness. We don't mind positional holiness. Thank God we're righteous in the Lord Jesus and we revel and rejoice in that.
But when he imputes righteousness to you, he imparts righteousness to you. You become a partaker of the divine nature. Listen, if anybody ought to live right, dress right, act right, talk right, it ought to be a child of God. Well, amen. I'm glad I got two little amens there. I'm just preaching the truth. Phil told me this morning, he grinned, he said, I won't be able to be here tonight. Gonna miss your message. I said, you know, there's been a few times I wish I could have missed my message. Yeah, you'd have to be a preacher to know what I'm talking about. Has God spoken to you about practical holiness? Huh? I mean about dressing right? About getting rid of those fleshly lusts and habits that are dishonoring to God? Oh, listen. I'm glad God spoke to me about being saved. And then God spoke to me about trying to live right and be holy and continues to speak to me. And then separation. Separation. We're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's talking about more than being married to them. 2 Chronicles 18:1 said Jehoshaphat had great riches and he joined affinity with Ahab. God sent a prophet to say to him, listen, shouldst separated person. I won't go there anymore. I was just a young boy, sixth grade. My sister brought a friend home with her from school. And I remember that friend of my sister's said in the course of a conversation, oh no, I'd never go there. I wouldn't want to be there if the Lord came back. I wouldn't want the Lord to find me there. Separation. Service. When Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Thank God that you're here on Sunday night. Some folks come here and they never show up but Sunday morning. But you're here on Sunday night. God bless you for it. But listen. God has more for you and me than just being faithful to the house of God on Sunday night, Sunday morning, and Wednesday night. God saved you to use you. What's God want you to do? Sure, He wants you to be faithful in the house of God. He wants you to support the work of God and pray. But what does God want you to do with your life? Well, the burden of my heart is that God would get a hold of some young folks. Called! Some of you old heads, do you pray for your children that God's good hand would be on them and He'd put them into His service? Do you pray for your grandkids? Oh, that God would raise up from our church men to preach, missionaries to go. Service. Sacrifice. You're either living a sacrificial life or you're living a sacrilegious life. Romans 2:22. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You abhor idols and all that idolatrous worship. But you think about how wholehearted those idolaters are in their worship and how they sacrifice to their heathen gods. the devils that they worship. You ought to abhor idols. But do you commit sacrilege? What is sacrilege? It's stealing from God what belongs to Him. We talk about sacrilegious jokes. That's taking the glory that's due to God away from Him. You're either living a sacrificial or a sacrilegious life, every one of us. What is the Christian life? It's a life of sacrifice and service. I'm talking about the New Testament kind. The real thing. Sacrifice. Sacrificial or sacrilegious? Lord, best I know how, by Thy grace, I say from my heart, at Thy word, I will. Do you say it? Can you say it? Will you say it? Lord, come what may, no matter the cost, at Thy word, I will. There's the simple secret to the blessing of God on your life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank Thee tonight to know in my soul that You have great plans for every child of God. And Lord, I've tried to preach tonight as You've enabled me to, and what measure of liberty and power You've given me, I thank Thee for it. And now I pray for myself. That by Thy grace I may practice all the days of my life what I've tried to preach. And then may it please Thee tonight, Lord, to touch the hearts of the people that there would be those words in a prayer ascending to the throne of God from the heart of every child of God. Lord, at Thy word, I will. Surely, Lord, if we'd do that, the blessing, Thy blessing, Thy good hand of blessing would rest on each of us, would rest on this church, and great things would be accomplished for the glory of our God. Breathe on us, Lord. Oh, how we need Thee to move mightily on our hearts. That we might glorify Thee. And I make this petition in Jesus' precious name. Amen.